And now, Chief Heat.
All right. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the, I don't know, it's a quite popular podcast. My name is Peter Rosenberg. I'm joined by the SGG, Stat Guy Greg, the Physically Strong. We are back in New York City on a Thursday. Now, wow, can you believe it? A full 5 days removed from WrestleMania. Two episodes of, an episode of Raw, an episode of SmackDown. I have an episode of 205 Live and NXT, if that's your druthers. And here we sit, leading into what they're calling a superstar shakeup this coming Monday on Raw. First of all, how you doing, Greg?
Oh, man, I'm doing wonderful.
You're wonderful?
Yeah. Like you said, it was a great weekend in Orlando for me, for you, for everybody. Sad to be back in New York where the weather's slightly repulsive.
When did you get back?
I got back on Tuesday afternoon.
And how was your Monday?
Oh, man, my Monday was wonderful. I was burnt
wonderful.
Out. Yeah, I was burnt out, though, I'm not going to lie, from all the wrestling. Over 7 hours of WrestleMania will do that to you. So Monday, I didn't even watch Raw. I just went to Disney. I chilled out. I met Mickey. Did the Haunted Mansion.
Mickey James was there. Wow.
Mickey James and Mickey Mouse.
Both,
yeah. Had a lot of fun in Disney. I feel like that was the perfect way to end the week.
That's fantastic. And, you know, here's my question. When did you sit down and watch Raw?
I watched it yesterday.
When you got back?
Yeah.
I'm guessing at that point you'd already seen everything that happened.
Yeah, I heard about all the major stuff. And even still, I was like 3 hours of Raw was still going to be too much on top of, you know, the 2 hour SmackDown, which is always must see. You know, I watched that.
You prioritized SmackDown. Yeah. So for you, you had to watch SmackDown on Tuesday.
Yep.
So then yesterday, which was Wednesday,
I watched the 90-minute version of Raw on Hulu.
Okay. That's probably a good way to go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start and break down WrestleMania a little bit before I think we get into what could, should, and will happen when it comes to the superstar shakeup. But we'll start with WrestleMania. What were your biggest takeaways from WrestleMania?
Oh man. Overall, it was a fun show. I was curious to see how the set was going to look. I heard people say it was like a roller coaster design, and I didn't really understand how they were going to do it. But I feel like they pulled it off and managed to design a really beautiful set. And all of the matches delivered, even the ones that we heard about in advance and felt like we didn't want to see once we saw it on paper. Started off real strong with AJ Styles and Shane McMahon. And it's hard to find a bad spot in the show.
I'm interested to see how it looks on TV. I'm yet to really watch what the set looks like TV.
It looks amazing, though. It came across really beautiful on TV and in the arena, too. Like, it was phenomenal.
So I have a drop machine in front of us, which if we continue to do the podcast here, which I feel like we maybe should, because the sound's going to be really good. I can also start putting drops in this system and use drops here very easily.
I feel like you have your finger on the button of one right now.
No, I do, but I'm just looking up what happens to be here, and it's just random. These are the WWE things that happen to be in the system. Let's see what this is. A caller, apparently. Oh, that won't play. I have to drag it somewhere to play it, maybe. Oh, well, Jesus. You know what? Forget it. Yep.
Good effort.
I thought if I just hit this, it would play. But apparently that's not how it works.
Well, sitting from here, I thought if you just hit it, it would play, too. This is quite the studio.
Well, I wasn't in hotkeys, so now that I'm back in hotkeys, it's the K show. So these are the drops that we play on the K show, most of which are Michael K sounding insane, either saying really crazy things like "savage," or
"I am not an animal,"
which is one of my personal favorites.
"I'm a smug jerk. He's a nice man."
So these are the clips that we play throughout, you know, all the time. And then there are ones like, a lot of my favorite ones are him messing up. For example,
"Tri-State Buick GMC."
What?
We don't know why that happened. And then there was this one the other day when he tried to say goodnight and just fell apart.
"See everybody. Have a good night."
We don't know why that happened. And my, one of my all-time favorites.
I couldn't agree with me more.
That's never been said. And then there's a ton of just my mistakes as well. That's pretty big. Here's one of me not being able to say the name of an injury. Rhabdomyolysis. That's good.
Yeah, I don't know what you were trying to say.
What about this one? If everyone knows taking off your penalty is a helmet, you know taking off your penalty is a helmet. That actually happened on the show.
You said it with such conviction, too, like, and you emphasized every word.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, like, I didn't even have any...
No doubt in your mind that what you were
no
saying
No doubt at all. Did you see this guy on the news the other day? I've been playing this a lot this week.
New Jersey Transit is the absolute worst!
The Mets fan who couldn't get to the Mets game, so he was very, very upset. My favorite, a couple of my favorites that I may just use on this show, because I love them, the dog growl. Don't know why, it's just my favorite dog growl sound there is. Of course, there's best cry ever.
Because I know... Somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
We need that one for the...
That was you when you saw Roman Reigns at Cheap Heat last week.
No, that was everyone when John Cena finally proposed to Nikki Bella.
Well, all right, we'll get to that. So if you hear random sounds, that's why. See, that's just stuff from the machine. I had some other ones I really wanted to play that were more appropriate, but apparently... We received information which makes me no longer able to play those, so it's a little disappointing.
I feel like we'll get some mileage out of I'm a smug jerk. As much as I love Roman Reigns, I feel like when we talk about him on Monday, there's...
What about this?
Kick rocks, you old bee. My goodness. That's nonsense.
All of these are real, by the way. Like, these are real things Kay either mistaked, said as a mistake, or meant like this.
My wife is me.
What?
My wife is me. Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Macho Man Randy.
Savage!
There's a lot. There's opportunities here. Anyways, so the set looked beautiful. We agree with that. Let's get to the show. Obviously, I'm going to be... listen, there's no need for you guys to come out and be like, Rosenberg's a corporate shill. I'm going to tell you, I'm not in the best position to judge what Mania was because of how much fun I had and what the experience meant to me personally. That said, my review... It's not like my review of WrestleMania is... It's a perfect show by any means. So... I think we can do our best to be fair about it. I thought WrestleMania was a really good show, flawed by how long it was.
Yes.
Even though for me, I didn't mind. I know for the average person trying to live a life, particularly in the stadium, that's a long time to be there. Now, if you were at home and you didn't really care about, you know, you could watch the kickoff show when you feel like it. You could watch it later. You could watch it the next day. You could half watch it. So I don't think at home the length of the show is that big a deal. I mean, honestly, for me personally, and this is not me saying that it was good. This is just my own personal interests. I don't mind a show airing on too long because I usually watch it at home. And the difference between me personally going to bed at 11 and 12, it's whatever to me. So I enjoy having a very long show. But in person... If you got there, you want to get there early before the show started, you were there for like an 8-hour work day.
Yeah.
That's a challenge. There's no doubt about that.
Because I know there are people who like tailgated in the parking lot, and that's like 2 or 3 hours just before the show even starts of madness. So like you could have easily been there for 12 hours.
Or you could be like me. I got there at 10 a.m. Wow. Does that mean I had a 14-hour day in the stadium?
Yep.
Wow. I didn't even think about that.
You went to the stadium and left the stadium on two different days. Do you realize that? You went in on Sunday and you left like Monday early.
Early Monday.
Because it ended after midnight.
I got there middle of Sunday, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And left early Monday. That's correct. And the hard part is there was no locker rooms. The only people who had real locker rooms at that stadium were like the biggest, you know, Undertaker, Brock, the names you'd think, Goldberg. Everyone else, including those of us on camera, just had like these tents. So it was super hot, as you can imagine, although we did a good job keeping ours dark and like closed off. But still, it was super hot. There were no mirrors in those rooms.
Oh man, so you had to get your look right.
Yeah, I did my best. I was so happy with how well I did. And then I went to makeup and like sat in front of the mirror a little bit and got myself together. But that stadium, what WWE did with what they had available was very impressive because that building is not special. It is old and beat. And I know they added seats to it and stuff, But that place is beat. It has no amenities whatsoever. And they did a really good job at least making it look and feel to the outside like it was well done. So that said, the show was long. Here are my biggest takeaways. I'll put them in a, you know, I'll break them down quickly. I thought that Neville and Austin Aries was the best kickoff show match ever. I thought the match was just executed perfectly. That's exactly why you kind of love ending up on the kickoff show, and why I'm a little bit regretful that people complained and got the SmackDown women on the main show, because Neville and Aries got 19 minutes. They got to really tell their story. And I mean, it doesn't hurt that they're both amazing, but that was a great match. And it did exactly what you wanted. It made Aries look really strong, and it still kept Neville on top. I like the Battle Royal more than I like most Battle Royals. Why? Because the fact that they built completely to us thinking Big Show would win, or certainly Braun, and then they both got taken out in 5 minutes, and you already knew something I don't expect might happen. And then I thought Dean and Corbin was what I expected, which was nothing.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I'm sorry. I mean, that story just never got going. It never got meaningful, and it wasn't meaningful. It was repug.
They did have a great match on Tuesday, though, but it wasn't.
But in terms of it meaning something that you're hyped up for, that was almost your popcorn match to get you to calm down before you get into the big show, because that's how they kind of pay. What time did you get there?
I got there right around like the middle of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So just before Gronk got yoked up by that tiny security guard.
That was hilarious. Now, did you watch Neville and Aries yet?
I haven't gotten to see it.
Oh, man, so you don't even know how good it is yet.
Nah.
You're going to love it. You are going to love it. It's like built perfectly. It has the awesome spots at the end. They both work so real. It's really, really good.
So let me ask you this then. You mentioned the SmackDown women being on the main card. Do you think they would have been given as much time on the pre-show, or the kickoff show, rather?
Yeah. I think if they were on the kickoff show, they would have gotten a lot of time. To be totally honest with you, yeah. I know that Dean and Corbin only got like 10 minutes, but there wasn't that much interest for that match. They knew there was interest for this match. That's why they moved it, I assume, to the main card. So if they left it there but knew the interest was high, they could have been like, guys, listen, we know it's a bummer that in your eyes that you're not on the main show. I get it. But if you end up on that main show, look at the main show. You're going to end up rushing. It's just the only way around it. It's not even really a diss. I love having the big card. I think a lot of people like having the big card. So if you look at that big card, what matches are you going to squeeze for time? Right? Doesn't it have to be them? Who else are you going to squeeze? Cena? No. And that wasn't even that long a match, but you're not rushing Cena. You're not rushing AJ and Shane to start the show.
Well, this is what you do, though. You cut out, like, the random stuff that they did have in. Like, I didn't need the Pitbull Flo Rida concert in the middle of the show. I didn't need that.
That's an interesting point.
I didn't need, I'm not going to lie, too. Like, the fireworks to start off the show was great, right? And then every match after that, they gave us more and more fireworks. And it's like, all right, at this point, I'm over the pyro.
But that doesn't take time.
Why not?
How much time does pyro take? It just goes off when they're walking on the ramp, which was already really long.
Yeah, well that's another thing, too. Like, that entrance ramp was insane. What was it, 80 yards? 80 yards long, 50 feet high. Like, it looked beautiful, but again, like, there was that, like, the time and the entrances and everything like that, like, It was all a lot.
But that stuff that ultimately, you can argue about the music part.
Like Goldberg's music, his entrance took so long that his music started over.
Well.
And it's like already like a 3 minute song. So there's that.
I don't think you can get into much. Here's the thing though. Would you have wanted to get rid of the big ramp? I don't think you do.
I don't know if you want to get rid of the big ramp, but like figure out a way to, like, I don't know. I mean, Undertaker coming up through the middle, perfect for him, but what do you do with everybody else?
Yeah, I'm not exactly, I'm not sure. I think you could have a better argument when it comes to music about the Pitbull thing.
Yeah, the Pitbull thing, like, there was no interest in Pitbull or Flo Rida, or probably even that song for that matter. But kudos to Flo Rida. He's going to be a future WWE Hall of Famer. Like, he keeps making this music, and they keep forcing it on us. Like, people complain about Roman Reigns, but they don't say anything about Flo Rida. He's the one that they're forcing down our throats.
Flo Rida?
Flo Rida.
How dare you? I saw Flo Rida at the party, and he was a very nice gentleman.
I could have done. He may very well be a nice gentleman.
You have no interest.
But he does not make music that I enjoy. And that's not a shot at him personally. That's just, he doesn't.
Well, I don't think it matters whether or not he makes music you enjoy. I think it makes a difference whether or not he could actually make anyone care more about the show. And that may be the same answer, which is no. But he does make hits. So they both make hits, right? Pitbull and Flo Rida are, you and I don't buy their albums, but go ask an 8-year-old play their songs for them, they know them. So they make songs people know. That to me isn't the argument. The argument is, what does that do for the show?
I'll tell you what it does for the show. It backs up the line at the bathroom, because I tried to go and
strong.
Those lines were repugly long. Like, it was all bathrooms. And if you
so are, the biggest bathroom, the bathroom break of the cent is what you're paying for.
Yes, yes. And it's ridiculous. They're performing to empty seats and full bathrooms. That's what it does for the show.
That was a great line by you, Stack Guy Greg. So you would just kill the musical part of it altogether.
Yes.
Unless it's someone who somehow is playing into a story that makes sense, is a huge fan that, like, is actually currently really pop. But honestly, who would it be that really, I wouldn't say, oh, I don't care about the performance right now.
Even like Diddy, I was like, I want to hear Benjamin's, and I want to get him out of here at WrestleMania.
Nah, I didn't care about even Benjamin.
Yeah, see, but I like that song. But
I love Benjamin's. You know what? I've heard it before. Live, recorded. I've heard every version of it there is to hear. So
there's nobody that
I think you really focus on the music for the top of the show, the America the Beautiful, which Tinashe did a great job, by the way.
Yeah,
she sounded awesome. But I don't know. It seems like money. They probably have to spend so much money to fly someone in. Put them up, pay for everything that needs to get done. And then ultimately, you're saying literally people just flooded the bathrooms during that part?
Absolutely. And I can confirm this because I made several attempts to use the bathroom. I figured, all right, I'll go. This one's so crowded that the one 50 feet down is not as crowded. Nope. They were all equally packed. I just gave up and went during the next match.
So, yeah, maybe that's where you're thinking realistically, that's where you save some time.
The video packages before the match, like, you have to...
They're a little bit much?
Yeah, you have to think, right? Like, they had a two-hour kickoff show, and I remember growing up, they used to do those countdowns, and that was where they showed the video packages. And, like, don't get me wrong, these were epic, amazing video packages, and they did a lot to get you ready for the match that was to come, but I gotta say, like, all told, they probably did 40 minutes of video packages, too.
That is a very good point. Like, you do want to set it up, but should they be a little bit abbreviated? They run, like, what, 5-minute packages?
Yeah, and they ran one for just about every match.
And I do think, by the way, and I've said this for a very long time, years, that I wish the people at ESPN could learn from WWE. No one does a package better.
No.
But that doesn't mean you need it right in that spot. All of this is to say, you're not changing all of that. So I think the women would have been better off on the kickoff show. That's my point. Also, where are you going to put them that they don't get slept on? Because they ended up being right before Undertaker.
Yeah.
So you have to think about that. Remember, there's no real storyline for the women's match. It's not like there was this one story we had to see play out. It was just a showcase for the women. So even more so than the average women's match, which is already a challenge because people are lame about women's wrestling, unfortunately, this didn't even have a really big story to go with it. So people are going to kind of go to sleep on it. So I really think if they had imagine if the entire start to the night, instead of being Neville and Aries, had been the women's music hitting, it would have been over. People would have been into it, and they would have had time. They could have gotten 20 minutes. I think that ultimately would have been a better play. But whatever. Congratulations to Naomi, who gets to have an awesome moment. And for me, the congratulations isn't even about the title, obviously. To me, the congratulations is about the moment.
Homecoming, yeah.
Yeah, they gave her even when it was a rush, she got the long entrance. She took her damn time.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. I don't think that entrance plays out as beautifully in daylight.
Her entrance?
Yeah.
It doesn't, but that's still not... I think talking to her, I think she would have rather had the time in the ring. I just think she felt, I think they all felt just like it was hard to get their ish in. You know, how do you have, they did something like 6 minutes.
Yeah, which.
For six people. So, I there was no way that was, think about, oh, let's put it this way. The Raw women's match had way bigger people in it. Sasha and Charlotte and Bayley are bigger in terms of importance in the company than what, every woman in the SmackDown match?
Yeah, just about every woman.
Right? And how long did they get?
They got almost 20, I feel like.
What? Greg,
hold on, let me
you were sniffing this. Glue during this event. I'm looking up right now.
That
I'm predicting they got long. 9 minutes.
No, they got over 10.
Let's be clear. You just started 20.
I did start at 20, but now you got me. You're backing me down. So I'm gonna say they definitely got over 10.
Let's see them.
Let's pull up these run times.
Does it have the regular run times on the Wikipedia page like usual?
Yeah,
results.
Yes, it does.
All right, and 12:08.
So when you throw in those entrances though, and that video package, the segment itself.
Right. The segment itself was
around 20. Total in-ring time is not 20.
The girls got 5:35. Less than half. Roman Reigns and The Undertaker, 23:05.
But there was so much pageantry around that. That was probably like a 40-minute deal, too.
Right. And I was listening to someone talk about this match, and I can't remember who. And they were discussing how, from a booking standpoint, it was booked the right way, the Taker-Reigns match. But they didn't, I mean, in terms of the actual work inside the match, but they didn't necessarily account for how people feel after 7 hours.
Yep.
You know? And ultimately, you know what? We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll see what happens with the Mojo. The most interesting thing to me about the Battle Royal was that Jinder was in it late. Because I'm kind of waiting for them to do a little bit more with him. Seeing as how ridiculous he looks right now. I'm kind of curious to see if he gets a little bit more of a push. So that was interesting. We said Ambrose and Corbin, blah. AJ and Shane, in-house, I was kind of let down.
Really?
Yeah. I was sitting close for that one, and I thought it was cool, but I just didn't think they told that much of a story with the match itself. It was sort of me waiting to get to the spots. But then I heard from everyone else who watched it at home, people seemed to really like it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it as well.
I thought the crowd was kind of quiet, actually, to start, too. Well, after their entrances, it hit a lull and was not really loud again until the end. But you liked it.
Yeah, I liked it. And, I mean, that kind of was expected, though, because, again, this was not a match that most people in the crowd necessarily wanted to see. So that lull, I think, was the crowd not necessarily being tired, but like, okay, let's wait and see what they have to give. And I don't feel like they were definitely hot at the end, but they also, because I was in the crowd as well, but we also popped like at the right time. So those spots in the beginning, like when Shane came back and like Shane, Matt wrestling AJ, I know people in my section were very impressed by Shane McMahon. And that felt like, an early favorite for the match of the night.
Well, I was watching with Sam from like up where we were shooting some stuff. And we were debating about how you start the match, you know, and what's the first. I knew that match was on first, although I will tell you then again, when you talk about WWE these days and surprises, I wish they didn't have the package for that match. The first thing that ever should have played the whole night was this. I think because the crowd pops so big for that music. And I told Sam, I'm like, they're going to pop for that. I was like, that Here Comes the Money. Yep. That's like the best sound you can play maybe to start of anyone's music. And Sam at first assumed it would be this, which I love, but it's not as big a pop.
Like, it's too low. You got to wait for the pop.
Yeah, the big pop is after the whole thingy-majiggy happens, this whole thing.
Yeah.
It takes time. That Here Comes the Money. That's one of the best interrupt songs. It's one of the best sounds in WWE. So they got that right. And I would still, no matter how you cut it, I think you rate that match pretty highly. I think it's considered a good match that exceeded expectations. I have not watched KO and Jericho yet. I only saw it in pieces. How was KO and Jericho?
That was also a good match.
I heard about a couple of spots, including KO grabbing the rope with one finger.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Yeah. I also heard, I know it ended with a simple power bomb to the ring apron.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Not setting the bar too high, not trying to outdo everybody in match two of the night, which neither of the first two matches did. Like, AJ had its spots too, but it wasn't a spot fest.
No.
They kept it simple enough.
Right.
And so you liked it.
Yeah, and I like the way it ended too. I don't feel like that powerbomb on the ring apron was a downgrade or like a simple by any means, because you got to remember, like, this is a move that he used to put Sami Zayn out of action in his debut night at NXT. This is a move that he goes for when he's really trying to destroy somebody. And he said that he had serious problems with Chris Jericho and that he was going to take it to him. So it's an appropriate move. Even more so than the pop-up powerbomb, this had to be the move to let you know how much he hated Jericho.
So that's well done. I think they come out of the gate, basically, you could argue, 2 for 2 or 4 for 5. Because like I said, I really do think the Battle Royal played out well for a Battle Royal. I thought I had an interesting end to it. So far, of the first 5 matches, when you get to that point, I've liked everything except Ambrose and Corbin, which wasn't horrible, it just wasn't special.
Yeah.
Which gets you to the women's match, which I consider to be sort of the first disappointment of the night. You know, yeah, it was only 12 minutes long, which is not a lot of time for how important Bayley, Sasha, and Charlotte are to the company.
Right.
Or to the WWE right now. I mean that from a fan perspective, from what you watch TV every week, that's how they appear. Let me give you a positive. I've been saying on the show over the last 4 weeks or so that Nia Jax is getting better and better. She continued that, I think, in Mania. I think she looked really good. Not only because they made her look good with the story they told, but just because she's getting better. She's just getting more comfortable. She's starting to get more believable as this badass who can actually do things. Like the first few weeks, or a month or two, I guess, she just seemed tentative. She just didn't seem comfortable throwing people around. And now it seems like she's getting a little more comfortable.
Which is exactly what she needs, though. Like, for her to sell her size and her strength, she definitely needs to be, I don't want to say careless, but reckless.
There you go. But appear reckless.
Yeah.
And
the way they eliminated her, I mean, that was the only way to do it.
No problem with that elimination.
Yeah, it's weird because I didn't see that. I didn't see it playing out that way, but also that's the most obvious way to
get rid of her.
Get rid of her without costing her anything.
Yeah, she either has to do that or win.
Yeah.
The two weird eliminations were Sasha and Charlotte. Sasha just got yanked into a turnbuckle face first, basically. Now, don't get me wrong. Sasha takes the hell out of those bumps. Mm-hmm. Those ones in particular, like the falling into a corner, she does make them look like, oh my God, did she really get hurt? I mean, she's great at it. But it was a weird, quick way to eliminate her. Charlotte pulls her and she falls into the corner, and then Charlotte drags her back by her arm and gets the 3 count. It was just a little odd.
Yeah. It was unexpected. I think most people were expecting Sasha Bailey to be the final two, and that elimination more so than the other.
Yeah, you
really sucked the life out of the room.
Right. It did. That elimination sucked the air out. I completely agree with you. And then something weird seemed to happen with Charlotte and Bailey in the corner, because you felt like you were going to get a Bailey to Bailey off the top rope.
I think she just couldn't get her. Like, she didn't get the grip or she couldn't.
It ended up being like a backdrop
instead
and not a Bailey to Bailey, which would have been cool. You guys know I never think the Bailey to Bailey should be enough to beat Charlotte. But off the top rope,
right,
I'm with it. And it just didn't happen. And she still scored the pin. So it ended up being, I believe, a bit of a disappointment. And we ended up just getting a tag match on Monday. We did not see any furthering of the storyline between Sasha and Bailey, which we're all sort of waiting for with bated breath.
Right. It has to be coming down the line, but how much can you pack into that Monday after WrestleMania? You know, like, there have to be some ebbs and flows.
Then you get into what was the easy best part of the match of the night. I mean, at least as far as pop goes, which is the Hardys.
Yeah.
I mean, I think only the Jeff entrance. Is that what they use, though?
Yeah. Not this one, but like the original version of this.
But it's the same thing, isn't it?
But Jeff has like some weird lyrics to go with it.
Yeah, but this part's the same.
Nope.
Nope, it changes there, right?
Yeah.
The only thing that's the same is this.
Yep.
So let's talk about just how good that was.
The New Day as hosts did phenomenal with that.
Oh, that was their, I took a moment to tell each one of them, separately how great a job they did, because that part didn't have to be perfect. So, you know, I'm sitting there close, back out in the seats. And when the New Day music hits, everyone pops. And immediately beforehand, my boy Emilio Sparks had been like, yo, I think that, what do you think about the Hardys coming back for this match? And I got to tell you, up until then, I hadn't really been thinking about them for that match.
Yeah, I'd been thinking about them for Bray Wyatt more than anything.
And I was thinking about them for Monday. I wasn't thinking about them for Sunday. So I want to give props to Emilio Sparks, co-host of the Wrestle Rap podcast, along with Kaz, because he's the one who made me think, is this possible?
Yeah. And before you go any further, too, now that you bring up Kaz and Sparks, I'm so jealous of them, man. They had a blast this WrestleMania weekend. And granted, I did too.
What's the problem? What do you mean you're jealous of?
Because you can tell just from, like, the experience that they had. They had, you know, Wale Mania was a success, and they had a whole weekend in Orlando, and those boys had fun. And I'm jealous of the fun they had, but I also
It sounds like the jealous you have is because you went down there with your lady friend, and they went down there as their tag team.
Well, listen, I had a wonderful time, like I said, with my lady friend.
Good, because you're burying her right now.
No, not at all. I actually wish that we could have, like, I could have introduced her to those guys, and, like, we could have had, like, a whole big group, like, selfishly. But I just didn't have enough time for all that. So my only regret is that I didn't get a chance to run into them and just chill with them for a couple of moments in Orlando.
You didn't see them at all?
I did not get to see them at all.
Yeah, because you weren't able to sneak down to the... Our seats this year were... Your seats were different. They were given to me by someone else. We had to sort of sew together everyone's tickets.
Yeah.
Dipperstein ended up sitting with Noel and Frank. Noel and Frank happened to be two rows behind Kaz, Wale, Dizza, all those guys. And so I ended up going out there because it was on the floor, so it was easy for me. So I would just walk out there and pop out there, and then you were up in Repugland.
I was up in the plaza with the people.
Were you in full Repugland? What level was it?
No.
Second level?
There was a level of repuggery happening right above me. But what I did notice, too, though, like, about my seats that made me not feel that bad was that, like, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I feel like a lot of WWE partners and, like, people that they worked with...
were in your seats.
Yeah, sponsors and, like... Because I know there was some 2K people up there, but then some Scopely people who...
Well, you were club level, weren't you?
Yeah.
It was club level.
Yeah.
So, no, those are... And how being serious, not to sound like a total D-nozzle, but I've gotten really good seats now for a long time. How was the Mania experience from there? Like, how was the view of the ring and the screen, et cetera?
Well, no, that's what I was going to... Like, the view of the ramp and the entrances, because I was facing the stage, and, like, you could see... everything. Even if people stood up in my way, like, it didn't matter, because then I just turned my head and you have the video screens and you can get the same angle that people are experiencing at home. Because, I mean, as much as I love third row, second row, third row, first row, the one problem is
that... It's very hard to get the TV experience.
Yeah, and if somebody stands up or if they go too close to a barricade or...
You lose it.
Yeah, and then, like, for a moment, you don't see what's happening. But then when you're back far enough, you can just, like, look up.
A, you can see the whole ring and around the ring completely. Yep. And then, B, you have the screen. So it turned out good, you're saying, either way.
Yeah.
Even in Repugland.
Yeah, no, it was great.
So shout out to I got to see Sparks a lot, particularly a lot this weekend, but I saw everybody. But Sparks, he was like, man, what if the Hardys come back right now? Fatal 4-Way. And I was like, well, it is a ladder match. Why'd they make it a ladder match?
Yeah.
Right? We didn't think about that.
I did not.
We did our preview show, and on Friday, I didn't realize until Friday it had been made a ladder match.
Well, I mean, the way they explained it on Monday was they did a good job of with their reasoning, right? Like, the three teams got into a brawl. Somebody, I think it was the club, or it might have been Sheamus and Cesaro, that used ladders to beat down people. So it was like, okay, now it's a ladder match. But yeah, like you said, you have to ask yourself, why are those decisions made?
And we didn't. And then New Day comes out, music hits, everyone pops. Me and Sparks look at each other. And I look at Dipperstein and I go, listen, even if it's just the New Day, I'm psyched about that.
Which they teased very well, too. Like, they came out in
tights.
Gear.
That's, and I told them, I said, do you guys realize that by you coming out in your gear, it changed everyone's thoughts?
It did. And even,
and that was their choice. They were just like, you know what, let's take off a little bit of what we're wearing, go down to what could be tights.
And even Kofi, like, he's taking off his hats. And as they do the hoo, 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 like, and they get more serious.
And
like,
you see them walking and rubbing their hands a little bit. They kept trying to sell it.
Yeah.
And then.
That's the one.
I got to put all these in this computer if we start doing it here. I know people miss the drops. It was. I got to tell you, I thought. I got to post the picture. Have I not posted it yet? Did I already post the picture of my face? Did I already post it?
I don't think so.
Spark sent me a picture of my face when it happened. Man, I was hoping he took video. Yo, listen, I promise you guys right now, I walked out from the back getting to work on the first WrestleMania of my life. I spent 10 years working to get an opportunity, and it was truly one of the best days of my life. Honestly, if God forbid it all ended tomorrow, and I think I have a bigger future with WWE, and there's a lot more to do. But if it all ended tomorrow, that day was iconic for me. And at no point did I scream for joy and have fun like I did when the Hardys came out. What did you do? What was your reaction?
I jumped up out my seat.
Because you're physically strong. You have to be careful.
Yes. Yes. I jumped up out my seat. And I could tell by the look on Crystal's face that there was some cause for concern with how fast I shot up and started yelling at the top of my lungs and clapping and screaming for the Hardy Boys. I don't think she was expecting that. But it was due, though. It was justified, especially with the work they've been doing in the last few months. Even tonight, right?
Yep.
Not tonight, on Sunday night, I should say. Winning the WWE Tag Team Champions, they managed to hold the Tag Team Championships for three major companies in the span of like 3 or 4 months. Because they had ROH Tag Team Championships, TNA Tag Team Championships, and now the WWE.
But they had ROH until the night before, no?
Yeah.
Right.
They held that until Saturday, and it's like, that they've done as a tag team, what they've done in just the past few months has been phenomenal. And the Raw Tag Team Championships is just a good exclamation point on top of everything.
There were so many things that made it great. The surprise was incredible. Here's the picture. I just posted it. The surprise was amazing. The way they look is awesome. You know, they look really healthy. You can tell they've aged, particularly Matt, right? Mm-hmm. Jeff looks basically the same.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Matt's in great shape, but he looks like a little bit older version of himself in great shape. Man, so right when the match ended, first of all, they worked. Yo, Jeff had spots in that match that were incredible, even by old Jeff Hardy standards.
Yeah, like that.
So did he do a Swanton off the top rope, off a ladder?
No, he did it off of a giant ladder.
Swanton off a ladder onto a ladder?
Onto Sheamus and Cesaro, who were on ladders.
There were amazing spots in that match, and we hadn't seen them in so long on WWE TV, and they were so good. I sprinted to the back so I could watch them come back through and watch them get the applause.
Yeah.
And watch them greet people. And I got to, they had been, I'd been there all day. They were not around all day. So I watched them greet people for the first time, and it was very, very cool to just see, like, you know, see Mark Henry going up to them and them hugging for like a minute because they hadn't seen each other for years.
Yeah.
You know, these guys. And
that's the thing you forget, too.
Yeah, that there are real relationships here and people that they're friends with and just people they knew. And maybe some people you're not best friends with, so you didn't even talk to them, but you like them. And then you realize, oh, man, these people are going to be around.
Yeah.
These guys are going to be here.
Well, they have the belts now. Like, they're definitely going to be around.
They're called championships.
They have the championship titles, excuse me. They're definitely going to be around for a long time.
Right? Yeah, they're not going anywhere. I wonder how long a deal they signed.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But you have to imagine, I mean, if this is their last big run, I'm guessing you see them for a couple years straight. You know, a year or two straight.
Yeah.
And we got to get time for them to turn into, I mean, Matt Hardy's changed his name from Broken Matt Hardy to just Matt Hardy on social. Are we going to get back to Broken at some point?
You just might. You never know.
You don't know. And again, this is why let's speed through the rest of Mania because we got to talk about the shakeup. And what could happen there. So, Hardy Boys were incredible. And by the way, shout out to everyone else in that match. They did a great job. I mean, everyone else gets the assist, obviously, because the Hardys were the star of the match. But I thought Enzo and Cass were great. Enzo probably did the most in-ring work in a big match I've ever seen him do. Everyone was great. Cena and Nikki, Miz and Maryse. The biggest takeaway from that match, besides the obvious, which is their engagement, which is I thought was a great moment, because how often have you seen it's never been real before.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That engagement, though, I feel like it started off a little weird. I'm not going to lie. Because there was a point when he was like, you know, before you had your surgery and you were like drugged up and you were a little loopy and I told you I would be able to ask you anything. And in my head, I'm like, are they already engaged? Like, did he ask her on the way to surgery?
Just because, you mean like, you thought it was like a... You thought it was like Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get like a AAA Stephanie McMahon situation. Cause it's like, does Total Divas have the footage somewhere of him already proposing to her? That they
them going to the chapel in Vegas?
Right. You just don't know. Cause it started off a little weird, but,
what I liked about it is I think he told a story once the crowd was kind of lost. We're like, all right, they're about to do it. I don't think we were paying attention to the fact that he was telling her a really personal story and he said it in front of everyone. But you weren't able to really pick up on it because it was between them. Yeah. You know, and I could look, you could see looking at her. Listen, Nikki's a good actor on Total Divas. She's not an Academy Award winner. And you could see looking in her face how real that moment was to her. And I saw them immediately afterwards and she, you know, and her crying. It was cool, man. It was cool that it was real. And when I saw Cena, I gave him a big hug. I was like, hey, man, congratulations. He was like, hey, man, wrestling wedding. What could go wrong? But congratulations. The only whack part about that match was that Nikki was obviously the point of she can't work at all.
No, I don't think it was that.
She didn't touch anyone.
But I don't think it was that. Listen.
Well, what do you think? Then why would they literally not have her do anything? She hit her finish. That was it.
Well, listen, this was what I was thinking, right? And this is how it came across to me, especially after our interview with her on Friday. Is that there's so much heat there.
No, this is not accurate what you're saying.
That yes, they are professionals, but there's so much heat between her
and
Maryse.
Well, I love this.
That it was left to John Cena and The Miz to carry the match.
So they didn't kill each other?
Yes.
Wow. Real life would be, I'm guessing, she can't do anything. That's my assumption. Based on the information I got from conversations with other people over the weekend, not at the building, but, you know, hung out with people close to her over the weekend. And I've been hearing that she basically only had a couple bumps left in her. There wasn't much she can do. She took a little, she got pulled off the ring apron once.
Yep.
She slapped Miz. And she did the finish. And that was it. Correct?
Yeah.
Now, listen, maybe you're right. And they really were like, you guys haven't even talked. I don't see how you're going to work. Let's also remember Maryse hasn't done anything in ring now in how long?
Which is exactly why you don't want to put Nikki Bella's neck and career in her hands.
Very good point. But that is still slightly different than you said. That's not heat. That's, we don't trust her because she hasn't even worked and this woman's delicate.
But there is also heat, though.
And then like, on top of that, there's heat.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that Miz played so into the babyface pop he was getting. I'd like to take a minute here to say that how much I hate all of you who cheer The Miz and Maryse. Number one, yes, it's because I'm a fanboy of Nikki Bella. Number two, and more importantly, and hear me out on this one. You're not doing The Miz a service when you cheer him as a babyface because he's supposed to be an evil heel. Number three, you can't chant yes to the guy who has an eternal feud with Daniel Bryan if you're a Daniel Bryan fan. And a lot of you guys who are cheering for The Miz, I know you love Daniel Bryan. You know how I know? Because everybody cheers for Daniel Bryan. The entire crowd, smarky smarks, regular kids, nerds, jocks, everyone cheers for Daniel Bryan. And then because The Miz is in a match with John Cena, you cheer his mocking of Daniel Bryan with Daniel Bryan's chant. You're disrespecting your fanship of Daniel Bryan.
Wrestling fans are a fickle bunch. You know this.
You agree that as much heat as there was between Cena and Miz, the real Miz storyline, which has been playing out now for years, is with Daniel Bryan. It's still playing out. It'll keep playing out. That has been unless Miz leaves SmackDown, which we got to get to. Anyways, Seth Rollins, Triple H, thoughts?
Oh, man. I love the entrances. The match is exactly what I was expecting it to be. I don't think they outperformed people on the, you know, the AJ Styles, Shane McMahon definitely exceeded expectations. The tag team championship match exceeded expectations. I think they met expectations, but at the same time, the expectations were so high that it doesn't necessarily translate to a bad match.
Just was what you expected.
Right. What I did notice though, that I found hilarious. You talk about fans, cheering the wrong person. when Triple H and Stephanie came out, there were three children who happened to be like all in on Triple H and Stephanie. They stood up, they clapped, they were jumping up and down. And when Rollins came out, they booed him very viciously. Like they were thumbs down when he came to them. Like they gave him the thumbs down in his face. And it was Shane's boys, which I thought was hilarious. That like this, they say whatever to the characters. Whatever to the storylines, like, even though their Aunt Stephanie is supposed to be this evil person and...
Wait, they cheered?
Yes, they were behind Hunter and Steph 100%.
They were not able to keep the storyline.
No.
Because Shane is against them, generally.
Yeah, Shane is against them generally, but also, like, even Rollins has a legitimate gripe against Hunter and Steph, but... If you ask those three, like, it did not matter. They were all in.
For family.
They were Team McMahon all the way.
All right. Randy and Bray. I didn't quite understand the title change there.
Me either. Especially, like, when they went into the supernatural stuff and the maggots and the bugs.
How'd that look from up there?
It looked cool. I'm not going to lie.
It looked cool from up there?
Yeah, it did.
I thought it looked cool on TV, too.
It looked real cool from up there.
I didn't get that. It seemed a little rushed. They did 10 minutes, 30 seconds, and their story just didn't quite play out as much as it should have. I guess it's not done.
But they didn't need it to change the title to keep it going, though.
No. And frankly, I think it does more for Bray. Randy needs another title. Now, granted, Bray's a character who doesn't need a title around his waist, right?
No, but what he needs is, like...
He needs wins, though.
He does. He definitely does. Especially, like, when you look at it now, like, this trend is getting real bad. Like, he comes in as the eater of worlds, and then he can't conquer John Cena. And then, like, he takes it up to another level, and then he lost to The Undertaker, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes it up to another level, because now, like, he's transforming the ring and, like, doing all these things.
Still loses.
And he can't get past Randy Orton.
It's kind of weird.
To protect the last thing that he has to hold on to. He doesn't have his rocking chair. He doesn't have Sister Abigail. He doesn't have the hut that Sister Abigail was buried in. He has nothing but this championship. Like, he's unleashing the peak of his powers, and he can't get past a guy who's just shady.
He's just shady.
Yeah, he's just a shady guy. Like, he doesn't have anything to stand up to this. Like,
Greg, you've dropped to two of your best lines ever on the show today. Randy Orton's just shady.
Yeah, that's really it.
He's a shady guy. That's it. Well, sometimes you just can't beat the shady guy. Even
I guess not.
Even someone with Bray's everything could not do it. I think it's very weird. I didn't quite understand why, but hey. Brock and Goldberg, I thought was perfect.
Same.
Most that you could get out of both. I liked how it started. I liked it. They didn't make it 100% clear immediately. They allowed Goldberg to still get the spear on the outside of the ring. Yep. I was worried it was going to be a squash. It wasn't quite a squash. 4 minutes, 45 seconds. Squash of Jace.
But it was the longest match that he's had since he's been back.
Yep. You got to see him work a little bit.
And it played out to both of their strengths. Like, the loss that he took, there was no shame in taking the loss that way. Because he still managed to get his spear and his jackhammer, and it restored everything that Brock Lesnar had lost in, for lack of a better word, being punked by Goldberg at the Rumble and Survivor Series and in the build-up to this match. And it made the Universal Championship mean a lot, because you had these two titans clash for it. Granted, it wasn't a wrestling classic, but it is going to be a sports entertainment classic, though.
Then the girls' match, which we've already talked about extensively, correct?
Yes.
We've said enough about that. Reigns and Undertaker. I thought Undertaker would win. I thought that would be the way to really give the rub. And that was me not knowing that this was definitively the end for The Undertaker. Because ultimately, he could have been squashed by Roman Reigns. In fact, I wouldn't have hated that.
I wouldn't have hated that either.
Because as a result, you know, they had a long match with a lot of rough spots in it. And people hated it. Let's just be clear. People hated that match. At least from where I was sitting. What about you?
Well, I didn't watch it live in the arena. I was burnt out. I saw the
entrances. You left.
Yeah, I saw the entrances, and I was just like, I'll catch this later. I tried to catch some of it.
Well, did you also just want to avoid the mess of leaving after you'd already been there that long?
Yeah, and it was just too long. I did watch it back on TV, and I knew Roman Reigns won because you could hear his music while you're walking away from Citrus Bowl, and you can see the fireworks again, another fireworks show.
So when did you watch the full thing with Taker's goodbye?
I watched it today.
Oh, today?
Yeah, just before coming in.
So in person, for those of us who actually like to stay for all of WrestleMania, the crowd just was like groaning because there were a few spots that just were rough, right? Let's give credit where credit is due. Taker took many spears. I mean, many through a table in the ring. He had a dope spot that I loved where he did the sit up and then fell back
over,
down.
Yeah.
Loved that. But by and large, the match was groany. It was one you're like, ugh. You started feeling a little awkward because when he couldn't get him up, there was just times you're like, oh, this is supposed to end.
Yeah, but I mean, I saw that spot too where he tried to reverse the tombstone and couldn't get him up. I don't necessarily know whose fault that is.
No, none of us know whose fault that is. I don't think there's a way that we can be sure. You could argue, I guess it could be Roman's fault, right?
Why?
Because Roman's the one who's, we would think that naturally because Roman's the one trying to get him up.
Right, but then like, you got to be in position for it, though.
So you're just coming in with the instant defense of Roman.
No. I'm saying
when the obvious is it probably was Undertaker's fault because he's the one who's not in the same shape he used to be.
But like, you have to be in position. So like,
are you going to tell us now how physically wrestling works?
Well, no. I'm just saying if the Undertaker, it's just how anything works. Like they are performing these moves together. So
you're already in defense mode. I wasn't suggesting it was Roman.
But listen, this is
all I'm
saying.
But why are you already defending Roman Reigns, though?
This is all I'm saying.
You're unbelievable. All I was saying was the match was ugly, no matter whose fault it was.
No, the match was ugly, but I'm talking about that specific spot.
Well, and did someone offend you by saying this was Roman's fault?
No, listen, first of all, I don't think it was on the young guy that this...
So you're defending Roman. I just want to be clear.
Yes, I am defending.
Against two, though, that's the question I'm trying to figure out.
Listen.
Did anyone even tweet you and go, your boy messed up? Or do you just naturally spend your life thinking about what are they going to say about Roman? You've got real problems, Greg. You've got real the physically strong and mentally weak. The emotionally disturbed.
If I may, I will say though, like, it's particularly on that tombstone spot, it's tough to say like who's out of position and what problems caused it. Is he expected to lift Undertaker up as dead weight?
That's the part I thought at the time. I'm like, man, who knows what that entailed? And that maybe he was expected to. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe Taker was supposed to give him something and he didn't. I don't know.
Because you could see them too, like, adjusting their arms to get in the right position.
It was all
like,
bad.
It's like whose arms was out of place in the first place.
Man, it was
like,
all
you just
bad.
Don't know.
But it was just bad.
It does look. It looks more bad on Roman though, because like you said, he's supposed to be the one executing the move.
I just didn't see it. All I saw was is the match had a lot of struggles. It had some spots that I thought were cool, and then in the end, it didn't matter. Right? It just didn't matter. So that's why I say, had he almost been squashed, it wouldn't have mattered either.
Yeah,
it was all because the point was all about he doesn't have it anymore, and he's saying goodbye. And his character, the Undertaker, knows he no longer can run the yard.
But how do you tell the Undertaker that he has to get squashed at WrestleMania? Well,
that's
where
why
he has one loss.
Well, that's why you wouldn't do that. But I'm just saying I wouldn't have minded as much because I kind of, for my own image, I'd rather see his character lose than see the wrestler struggle. Right?
Yeah.
The character was fine. The character lost to a younger, stronger guy in his prime. But the wrestler really struggled to perform, I think, at the level that he's accustomed to. And it was time. It lets you know it was time. Either way, you knew it was time. And you kind of came away being like, it had to end. This was it. There was no more. Up until that day, I thought maybe next year he has one more with Cena. You know, maybe still. No.
And
you were completely clear when he put the stuff down in the ring.
Yep.
Which apparently, by the way, he did that with his gloves last year too.
I don't recall that.
Yeah, apparently he left his gloves in the ring last year, but it was not made, they didn't make a thing about it.
No, like they definitely made a point to like.
Everything. It was all worked out in detail.
The camera was on and everything when he took his gear off and left all this stuff in the ring.
It was all supposed, so like, do you know what I'm saying though? So I think you no longer, when it's all said and done, we're not going to remember the match. You're just going to remember the exit. It was just about him putting the hand up and sinking away. That's it. Do you see that meme yesterday with the picture of young him? And it was like a man named Mark Calloway, who'd been missing for the last 26 years, just appeared.
No.
But do you agree? I don't care about the match. It was just about the goodbye. That's it. And getting Roman. And ultimately they decided, you know what? We'll get more Roman, more heat. And obviously they were comfortable with that heat on Roman because all they did was have him come out and say, it's my yard now, and walk away.
Yeah.
Which I love, by the way.
I did too. Even that. How long was that segment on Raw? Was it like
10 minutes?
15? 10,
15? 10, 12 minutes, whatever it was, all booing,
yeah.
No talking.
Which was perfect though. Like he didn't need to say anything. Like he knows why you feel the way you feel. And it's because he is everything that he told you that he was. And like him, this is where you drop in that I'm a smug jerk, Michael Cage.
Oh, got it.
Him on Monday, like that's what that was.
It was him being a smug jerk?
It was. And
I'm a smug jerk.
I'm not mad at it. You know, what would make it better is if this leads to a heel Roman, which it won't. But that would be the cherry on top.
What would happen if he turned heel at this point? People would just keep booing, right? That would be the point. People would just keep booing.
But see, that's the problem, though. Like, I feel like if he turned heel, then the people who want him to turn heel will be happy, and then they cheer. And then it's like, for as much as we try to correct everybody, and by we, I mean wrestling fans, about, you know, sports entertainment and how this is a show, it's like, we also make a point of not enjoying the show for whatever reason. And WrestleMania Monday was a huge example of that. Roman Reigns exemplifies that as well. But WrestleMania Monday for sure, like you cheer all night for Finn Balor to show up, and then he shows up, and then you ignore his match. That's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, you spend all day online, all the time.
What do you mean they ignore his match? Why do you think that?
Because they were cheering for beach balls and doing the wave and, like, making their own.
During that match?
During that match.
Wow.
Exactly. But it's like, this is what you wanted, and then you get what you want, and then you react to it. Like, your attention span is immediately off of that. And then you wonder why WWE sometimes doesn't change course because of, like, the tantrums that we throw. Like, Daniel Bryan made good sense for a story, for business in a lot of ways, so we got what we wanted in that regard. But, like, when we do stuff like this, it's no wonder they ignore us. And they say things like, oh, you'll cheer who they would normally boo and boo who they would normally cheer and do this and that. And it's like, because they're not catering to us anymore, because that's what happens. It makes no sense for them to cater to us. They're catering to their corporate sponsors. So, like, even when they say stuff like that, they're not talking to you or me. They're talking to Snickers or whoever, like KFC, Georgia Gold. Like,
I love Georgia Gold.
Because we're I was not impressed with Georgia Gold.
I haven't actually tasted it. No, I was just saying that.
Not.
You tasted it already.
Yeah, I like it as a name, but it's
well, you fell for the promo. You ran right out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course.
Why are you saying of course?
Because I like a delicious chicken.
I love delicious chicken.
But
that's not the same. Who did that's KFC?
KFC did Georgia Gold.
So they're behind Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Yes.
So of course you went out there.
Yeah, of course.
You weren't gonna miss that.
But no, even bringing it back to Roman Reigns though too, like the crowd will chant, like they chanted all kinds of things at Roman Reigns, and then Vince McMahon comes out and he like. Everybody knows everything goes through Vince.
Right, so you should be booing him then.
Right, everything we love, everything we hate goes through Vince. So if we're going to say that Vince McMahon is shoving Roman Reigns down our throat.
Oh, you think they're going to boo Vince McMahon? Stop it.
Well, that's the whole thing, though. Like,
no, that's you're right. There's no consistency.
Even like when Stephanie McMahon comes out, right, or Triple H, and the fans chant CM Punk, and I'm like, that's stupid. And people are like, well, that's how we vent our frustration at the booking and at how they're using Roman Reigns and this and that. And it's like, okay, Vince is there now. And he gets none of that. He has to deal with none of that.
All right, we gotta get to some of the other things that happened after WrestleMania.
A lot of big debuts.
A lot of big debuts. Really quickly, because I'm not going to give us time to actually discuss this, so I'm just going to say it so we can get out of here, finish the stuff we need to. Where can people see the Kayfabe Barry Blaustein movie that you're in there, Stat Guy?
Ah, yes. It's on the Nat Geo channel. It's part of the Explorer series. It aired on Monday. It went head-to-head with Raw, and
it went head-to-head. A battle.
Yeah, the 10 o'clock hour, too. It's just one segment, and the segment went up against Balor Rollins.
So you probably didn't win that one.
Yeah, no, I watched it. I chose the Nat Geo.
You chose to watch yourself.
Yeah, it was a good segment. It was really informative. It's going to air again this Friday, April 7th, at 10 p.m. on Nat Geo channel. It's Nat Geo Explorer, hosted by Dan Rather.
And so Nat Geo Explorer Friday, 10 o'clock. And I'm sure they can find it online at some point, too.
Yeah, so if you go looking for it online, it's Season 10, Episode 5.
Wow, you really know all the information.
Yeah.
Jim Ross signed a 2-year deal with WWE. What does that mean?
We don't know. It could be probably the first of its kind where like, cause you know, you have a lot of part-time wrestlers that have a part-time deal. So it doesn't look like he's going to be back on Monday nights and doing week to week and touring and everything like that. But I think they're going to use him for, special events. He might end up on Bring It to the Table with You. I don't know, like, how his deal is worked out, but, definitely pay-per-views for sure. So we just don't know. I don't know how many dates he has, but over the span of 2 years, we're going to be seeing a little bit more of Jim Ross. They're probably going to try him out for the big matches and give it that big fight feel and make it special. So,
all right. Drew McIntyre returning to WWE, which is interesting. Of course, we always knew Vince McMahon was super high on him. That was always part of his storyline at release, but I assumed it was real. But as good a wrestler as he is, it'd be interesting to see whether he gets over with NXT, because I was always waiting to really be into Drew McIntyre. It never happened for me.
Yeah, same. I mean, and it goes back to that thing. Like, he had the in-ring skill. He had the look. He had everything else. But it was something missing. Even, like, in 3MB, and, like, tried to tweak his character and give him a little bit more. It was something a little bit off.
WWE announces the 32-woman tournament, an all-women's tournament. It's in July. We don't know the date yet, right?
No, we do not know the date yet. But I'm going to be very interested in this tournament, because one thing WWE has shown over these past couple of years is that they can do tournaments very well, especially with the Cruiserweight Classic and the UK tournament and the Dusty Rhodes Memorial Classic.
No, it's starting to become a staple with these tournaments, so I'm excited to see that too.
But here's my question, though.
Okay.
The Cruiserweight Classic was supposed to determine the best cruiserweight in the world, right? And, you know, they debuted a new championship after that. Same thing with the UK tournament. The best wrestler in the UK, that person got a championship. They already have three women's champions. So what are they going to do with this women's tournament?
It's probably just a way to have content and find a couple more women to add to the shows, because now that the women have been separated on both shows, you need a couple more.
Right, but if that's it, inherently, doesn't this tournament become less than the three others that they do annually now? Because, like, the woman who wins this tournament, if she's not going to be Raw Women's Champion or SmackDown Women's Champion or even NXT Champion, she's already fourth place. You don't even medal at fourth place. There's...
Well, because the tag one in NXT is for tag titles at NXT?
No, it's not, but like...
So who cares? So what makes it any different?
They get a trophy because like...
They're going to give them a trophy? They'll give them a trophy.
Right, but then they can't say that they're the best tag team. Even the tag ones in NXT, like... The team that won that went on to get a championship.
But the British one can't say anything either. I'm the best wrestler in Great Britain. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I mean.
But at points, there are still, I mean, listen, they're still Brits who are doing better in WWE who could say, what? No, you're not. I'm on the main roster.
Right. And but still, like, they got a whole belt out of it. They make a big deal out of it. This woman, unless the NXT Women's Champion and Raw and SmackDown Women's Champions are in this tournament, then the woman who comes out of this tournament can't really say that she's the best, because there's three others who have a claim to what she's saying. And
but I could argue the exact same with the other, with the cruiserweight. There were already people who were that weight size in WWE, right, who exist. With the tag team tournament, there are already tag teams who are not in it. Basically, I see what you're saying, but I don't see how it actually impacts it. I mean, I do understand that it's slightly different, because if it's the women's tournament, why isn't every woman in the company in it?
Right.
By the way, maybe it will be.
I hope so. I hope so.
Maybe it'll be 16 women from WWE and 16 other women. We don't know.
I really hope so.
But real quick, we still have a couple more things we got to get to. Finn debuts, comes back, I should say. Nakamura debuts. I popped very hard for both, particularly Nakamura. It was very exciting. It was odd that it came in the kind of the middle of nowhere. It was the end of a Miz promo that had nothing to do with them actually coming out. But my question is, we got to get into quick, what expectations do we have for the superstar shakeup? AJ teased a face turn by going out and being friendly to Shane McMahon. Makes you think he's turning. He said he does not want to leave SmackDown, which makes you think even more that he is going to leave SmackDown.
Yep.
So just tell me a couple of things, Greg, that either you expect to see or want to see.
I expect to see AJ on Raw with the rest of the club. Not necessarily what I want. Actually, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing that either, actually, the club coming out in full force. But that's something that I definitely expect to see out of this superstar shakeup. What I want to see is champions staying right where they are. If anything, like, switch the U.S. champion and the Intercontinental champion. But other than that, you know, keep the Universal Championship on Raw. Keep the Raw Tag Team Championships have to stay on Raw.
Of course.
Raw Women's same way. And
people are speculating Charlotte to SmackDown.
I wouldn't mind that.
They're saying a Charlotte-Alexa Bliss swap.
Really?
That's what I heard. That's what I read today.
Interesting.
It would then give you the opportunity to see Charlotte Naomi right away. Charlotte Mickey James. Charlotte Becky.
Right.
I'm
not mad
Alexa
at that.
Alexa, who fits in kind of nicely with Bayley and Sasha.
Size wise, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not mad at that just because I feel
And it
like,
makes SmackDown bigger.
Well, SmackDown already is.
No, bigger, not better. It makes it bigger.
Yeah. Like, legitimately, yeah. At least in the eyes of the company, it looks like they have.
Well, and just in the eyes of, I mean, I'm telling you, even though I know we've agreed for a long time that SmackDown's the better wrestling show, getting people to think of it as big as Raw, I don't think necessarily the case, right? Like, they had Cena, but it's Cena, it's this new version of Cena who's
there half the time.
Who's there half the time. But it's Randy who's a, you know, aging Randy. It's a different.
But here's why nobody thinks of it as big as Raw, is because the company does that, though. Like, you know, at the Royal Rumble, SmackDown had, I think it was one match on the main show and then one match on the pre-show, and then that was it. Of all the championships not defended at WrestleMania, kickoff show and main show, it was the SmackDown titles that weren't defended. Even this Superstar Shakeup, right? If they want to go for alliteration, it could have been the SmackDown Superstar Shakeup, and they force you to watch on Tuesdays. But the decisions are all going to be made on Monday, and then the aftermath of those decisions are going to be made on Tuesday.
Yep.
And then you'll have a situation where a Raw superstar who could end up on, you know, working both nights.
Well, I mean, listen, unless all of a sudden, unless the ratings permanently changed and it was literally always the bigger show, that's the ultimate driving force. Raw is the marquee. It's been in the exact same time slot, only deviating by an hour, depending if it's 2 hours or 3 hours.
Right.
Since 1993. So that's never going to change, no matter who's where. They will always put a little bit more into Raw. That's just kind of what it is. Even just the name Monday Night Raw connotes something different and it sounds like the marquee show. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
SmackDown changed day 3 different times. It wasn't live, now it's live. So it happens to be awesome right now. But yeah, you're right, you will see it. That's why I'm saying, when you're thinking about what's going to happen here, really be thinking about what's ultimately going to benefit Raw. Because that is the most important thing.
And I think...
And honestly, SmackDown will be fine regardless. Because the beauty of SmackDown is, it gets to be more of a wrestling show. I sort of like SmackDown being a little bit less in the talent department. Because it lets them focus on the wrestling part.
Yeah.
I like Raw getting the bigger name talent. They need it. It's 3 hours long. You have to fill it. So I believe Enzo and Cass or The New Day will definitely be gone. I think the Charlotte and the Charlotte Alexa swap, I'm guessing, will happen. I'm curious to see how they do it.
I think the Cruiserweights are going to be gone to SmackDown too, which I think makes sense.
Cruiserweights to SmackDown makes a lot of sense. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. One of the ideas Wale had that I thought was really interesting is that he thinks the women should be on one show and the tag team should be on another show. Which I thought was an interesting thought, allowing you to focus on those things and have a really full division on each one, which is kind of cool. Like SmackDown gets to boast that we are the show with the women's division. Raw gets to boast we are the show with the tag team division, whatever that thing may be. It's not what's going to happen now.
No.
But I did think it was an interesting idea in terms of allowing you to have a really full division.
But then what about like... What I would rather happen, I agree that there should be one tag team champ and one women's champ, but I also think there should be one world champ too. And then just let the tag champ, the women's champ, and the world champ float and have one championship to anchor each show, like one mid-card championship. So like, you know, the Intercontinental on one, the United States Championship on the other.
Women's on one and the heavyweight one on one.
No, like the heavyweight one floats. So like,
they float. They both have work both.
Yeah.
And you just ask them to do both shows.
Because that's your champion. If they're going to do alternating pay-per-views too, then like whoever has the pay-per-view coming up, that's who has the number one contender. And that's the show that the champion works until...
It switches.
Yeah,
until... That's an interesting thought. Hey, guys, we got to go. I wish we had more time for you. But I got to be honest also, if you're listening to this show and you have not yet heard the 3-hour spectacular, I feel like I got buried a little bit because the weekend was so busy. It was the best one we've ever done, I think. It was absolutely amazing, and I got to tell you, I mean, I got a little bit of feedback for it, but I was a little disappointed. I guess people were just in the mode, but if you haven't gone back to hear it, most of what we talk about has nothing to do with WrestleMania, with the interviews. It's mostly just, with the exception of Nikki Bella, really.
Yeah.
Everything else is just about people's careers. So Gallows and Anderson, we got to know. You know, there's a lot of stuff on the Roman talk. You really get to get some more insight into how he sees his career and the way people feel about him. So if you have not gone back yet, I really encourage you to go listen to last week's episode and throw us up 5 stars on iTunes and stuff or subscribe on the ESPN app. We appreciate it. Stat Guy, I'm going to Raw Monday to get a feel. I'm just going to go backstage and try to get a little taste of what's going on back there, and I'll get some information to bring to us next week.
Yeah, please do. We need an infield correspondent.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. You know what else? Also, stay mage.
Always.